Do you want to give it like 5 minutes or?
I mean, I'm not in a necessarily a rush.
What do you think?
Anyone else?
No, it's already been 5 minutes.
Okay.
There you go.
Hello, how's everyone doing? My name is Jim Duda. I'm a professional property appraiser. This is my associate, Sean Sullivan.
How are you?
I've been with the company for 14 years. I'm a certified assessor. I actually live a little bit south of here in Burlington County, so it's a little bit of a drive. Sean's been with the company as one of our inspectors for 4.5 years. So usually when the town requests it, we'll do public meetings and kind of just give a general overview of what a revaluation is. Try to debunk some of the myths that are involved with it. There's quite a few myths out there. And the only thing that we typically ask is, you're going to have questions, which is fine. We'll be more than happy to answer them. But as far as like specific questions related to your property, those are the things that I don't like to answer right now. When the inspector comes to your door, absolutely. I mean, he'll take all the time you need. I'll do that. We've had that happen before.
I know.
You know, we just try to keep this as a general meeting. You know, we're just really talking about what a revaluation is. So what is it? A revaluation is state mandated, and it's county ordered, for a program to be done by a municipality to appraise all the properties, vacant, residentials, commercials, farmland, at fair market value. The goal of this is to spread the tax burden equitably throughout the township. So many people in the state don't realize that what an assessment is. It's a distribution tool. It doesn't drive your taxes, right? The budgets drive your taxes. So you got your school budget, your local tax budget, your county budgets. That's what drives the taxes. If I came in and I cut all of your assessments in half, you'd still be paying in property taxes what you're paying now. So a lot of people don't understand that concept. So they say they want us to derive. They say they want us to bring everything up to fair market value. So then that leads into, okay, what's fair market value? What you pay for something is market value. What we're trying to discover is what is fair market value. So if you purchase a home through a foreclosure or an estate or a short sale, like that's market value, but that's not necessarily fair market value. And there's three approaches to value that we utilize, just like an appraiser would. For residentials and farmhouse properties, we would typically use one, but it's the sales comparison approach, the cost approach, and the income approach. Those latter two are more reserved for commercial properties that are more income producing. Farmhouses and residentials, they're mostly all done by the sales comparison approach. And a fair market value sale is a willing sale, between a willing buyer and a willing seller. So there's no third party involved. Like I mentioned earlier, short sales and foreclosures, there's a third party involved, the bank. Estate sales, it could be the executors, it could be the trustees, it could be someone of that nature. So we look at all the sales. Well, obviously, we're not ignoring the what I would call distress sales. They make the market. If you have enough distress sales in a neighborhood, that's going to hurt the values. So we do look at all the sales. We just kind of, we attribute weight. We would attribute more weight to a valid sale than, say, an estate sale or a short sale or something of that nature. So then the next question is, why revalue now? Revals, 100% of the time, are usually ordered. I don't know of any town that we've done in my history with the company where they voluntarily did a revaluation. Reassessments, it's a different story. You can do those in-house. But a revaluation is typically, it's county ordered, and it usually happens after, if it's every 10 years, or any time the ratio gets down around 80%. That's what the second bullet point is attributing to here. So the state of New Jersey gives all the municipalities what's called an equalization ratio. It's a 2-year study of all the sales in the municipality, and it's an average percent of what properties are assessed at compared to market value. So here in Lebanon, the ratio for 2019 is 81.69%. So what's that telling us up front? That on average, again, average, residential properties are selling for, well, actually all properties are selling for about 80% of what they could sell for in the open market. So the goal of our program here is we're going to probably bring values up. Now, you can estimate it would probably be close to 20%, but it's not, again, we're going to appraise all of the homes. So we don't just apply a 20% increase in all the assessments, and that's it. It has to be based on something. It has to be based on appraisal attributes, like how big is the lot? What's going on with the lot? How's the utilities? What's the size of the house? What are the attributes of the house? So, next slide. We've entered kind of talked about at the beginning, we've entered into a contract to handle the revaluation. Revaluation is supposed to be on for the books next year, right? So all the field work, I anticipate the field work should start within a few weeks. I think a lot of you should have gotten your initial notification. If you have the opportunity, if you'd like to, you can call our office to set up an appointment. We'll have a start date probably by the end of the week, so we can actually start to actually set up some of those appointments if you request them. Next. As far as our inspections, we're going to have field inspectors out. Our field inspectors have uniforms. They don't go out in flip-flops, shorts, doesn't matter if it's 90 degrees, 100 degrees. They go out in a polo shirt. It's either blue or gray. Sean has the jacket on today. Khaki pants, some sort of like dress shoe / running shoe. So it's like kind of a cross. So we don't let them wear sneakers, but at the same time, you know, I don't want them in, you know, Timberland boots, especially. We walk around the house, so it could get muddy on some days. You know, we go out in the rain and stuff like that. We have a Surface Pro tablet that we wear, so we'll go out with a little laptop. I can kind of give you an example and show you. I'm using it as a stand. So it's this little computer here. We put it in a harness. We wear it across. We have our measuring tape. We're also going to have Lebanon identification. We have our own, but I think it's always better to get the town involved, and it just looks more legitimate. Obviously, most people's reaction to us is that we're some sort of
revenueers are coming.
What's that?
The revenueers are coming.
No.
Revenue
was
coming.
But I have now. that sounds awful. Like a preacher. So the inspectors will be out. I anticipate inspections probably the last year, about 2 months. We'll do 3 attempts, 2 physical attempts at the property. If we don't get in, we'll do a third attempt down the road. The evaluations won't come out until November in the fall. So all the legwork might be done, the collection of all the data, but the valuation won't be released until the fall. And then we'll get into that in the later slide. So what we're looking for as far as inspections is we're doing interior and exterior inspections. We're going to do a front photo of the property, a rear photo of the property, and then really any accessory structures that, you know, it's a judgment call, that are either seriously influencing or not influencing the value of the property. You know, if you got a 10x10 shed, I don't really think anyone needs a picture of it or something like that. We don't do pictures inside the homes. Never. It's usually from the right of way, from the street, and then it's the back of the property, and then, like I said, those accessory structures. So we'll look at, we kind of touched on this earlier, we'll look at comparable sales to kind of come up with a valuation of your property. Commercial property, since most of it is income generating, is evaluated a little bit differently. But again, everything gets reappraised. Even the exempt, this building will be remeasured. There'll be photos of it taken. Churches, everything will be attributed to value. So, you know, sometimes a lot of people think, oh, it's only my neighborhood or my house. It's not. It's the whole town. And we're required by law to do that, to bring everything up to fair market value. So as far as interior inspections, this is always a hot topic in New Jersey. We're not the police. Okay, I'm not going to show up. None of us are going to show up at your door. So you need to let me in your house. We have a lot of people that I've met over the years that have constitutionality issues with it. Like, you have no right to be in my house. So we're not looking at coercion. We're asking for cooperation. My job, because the state says our taxes are supposed to be based off fair market value, my job is to try to put an accurate appraisal value on your house. I can't do that if I don't know what's in the inside, or if I'm guessing, because then if I'm guessing, I've already kind of ruined that valuation. So the typical inspection inside maybe 10 to 15 minutes. There's things that we're really looking for, the nuts and bolts of the house, right, because this is for taxation. When you go to sell your house, you can say, oh, I've got new carpet, I've got furniture that you can keep in the sale. We don't care about any of that. We're looking at number of rooms. We're looking at how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, is it a crawl space, is it a basement, is it finished, and then if there's things you want to give us, like, we don't know if some houses have knob and tube wiring, it might come up here on some of the older homes, where I'm the assessor in one of my towns in Burlington County, all the homes are 100 years old, you know, I don't know if there's knob and tube in there unless they tell me, and that's something that does have an impact on market value, so, you know, those kind of things, if you have sump pump issues or wet basements, if we can't see it, feel free to tell the inspector that. We'll put it in the file because it may have an impact on the valuation. One thing to remember is when the inspector's out there, they'll take as much time as you want. I said the typical inspection is 10 to 15 minutes. But if you have more questions, I've been with taxpayers for an hour and a half, just because the questions don't stop. And from a production standpoint, I want people to keep moving, but it helps down the road because, you know, we're really there to answer questions and just collect data. Now, they won't know if you ask them what's the value going to be. They won't know. So that's something that's not going to come out until the end. They can give you the parameters, just kind of like how I went over. They might even have some sale information, but they're not going to know what your assessment is going to be. Because think about it, even if we're done field work, say, in June here, we're done all the attempts, the window that we're supposed to be looking for evaluation is October 1st, 2018 to October 1st, 2019. That's the rule. We're not going back to the bubble of 2007, and we're not going back, you know, 3 or 4 years. That's the window that the county tax board establishes for the assessment as of October 1st of 2019. So we might be done the legwork in June, but we're still getting data for the next, 4 months. And that data may have an impact if the market's stagnant, rising, falling, something like that. Next slide. We kind of went over this a little bit before, but as far as what we're looking for in the interior, we do look at condition. I don't care about hardwood floors. We don't care about hardwood floors or carpeting. Kitchens are handled differently by assessors in general, bathrooms. If it's completely renovated or if it's just average, we'll probably notate it. But, I mean, in my mind, and my inspectors kind of followed my lead on it, is if everything's been redone, like the inside, kitchens, bathrooms, you know, you got new carpet, new paint, then I'm not necessarily going to attribute a value to it, but I have to recognize it that's a great condition because the neighbors are going to bring it up. They're going to say, that guy's got a new kitchen. You'd be surprised how many neighbors rat on each other in this business stuff. On the flip side, you know, if it's cosmetic issues, we typically will notate it. I was just looking at a property earlier today where it said the interior needed some cosmetic updates. So, like, maybe some new carpet, maybe some new paint. Again, it may not have a value effect, but it's gonna play into the story of the house. Other things that we look at, exterior condition, what type of heating system you have, I think, air conditioning systems, fireplaces. We'll measure the exterior buildings, like the accessory buildings, like garages, sheds, pools. Anything really over 100 square feet, in our view, has the intent to be permanent. So if you have a 10 by 10 shed, you'll get assessed for it. If you have one of those 8 by 12s you can pick up from like Lowe's, Home Depot, or a shed store, like those don't get assessed. With all detached items in general, we try to make it, we want the main selling point, the main appraising point, to be the house, the size of the house and the lot. We don't want to get into a discussion about the valuation of a pool or a barn or something like that. So it will play into the assessment, into the total assessment, but it shouldn't be the main driver behind it, unless that's the only thing on the lot. There is no house. Things we don't look at are, like, we don't assess interior decorations, we don't assess fences, we don't assess driveways, curbing. You know, those are things we may notate, especially for the residents that maybe on, like, private drives, because there's some private drives here. Gas grills, that kind of stuff. So that's kind of the, if you wouldn't get an added assessment for it if you took out a permit, we typically wouldn't put value on it and pick it up through the reevaluation. Next slide. Okay, so you already had your letter. Some people have had the opportunity to set up appointments. So we're gonna let the chief of police know, and the assessor, I assume we'll let the administrator, the mayor know, when our first inspection date. Now, I don't know, due to weather and other factors, I can't accurately predict when someone may be in your area. It's just there's too many variables. So my remedy for that is, if you have the time and you know when you're available, call us and we'll work it out with you to set up that time to be there. But we'll make one physical attempt. We'll drop like a little yellow card in your door, and then if we don't hear from you, we'll make another second physical attempt at a later date, and then if we still haven't heard from you, we'll send a letter, probably toward the end of the job, saying, hey, you know, we've made these two inspections. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes the cards get lost. They get blown in the wind. They're just small little yellow and blue cards that are called callback cards. But as far as our flexibility, we can be pretty flexible. I already had a request from a Lebanon resident today saying they're not available until September. So, I mean, I'll make it work. You know, ultimately, you guys are the client. So,
But, you know, we do evenings, we do Saturday appointments if they fill up. Our evenings now, especially with daylight, it's great because now we can run evening schedules till about 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. Because you don't want to be doing interiors in the dark. You can't, especially if you have to check something on the outside that the initial inspector couldn't see. If you have a no trespassing sign, the post office doesn't really like this, but I'm going to leave the card in the mail, either on the mailbox or in the flag. I don't want my inspectors to be in that position. I don't want the homeowner to be in that position about why someone's coming up the driveway if it's a long driveway. A lot of times where we see it in more condensed municipalities is, like, the front of the house is fine. They'll have a fence to the backyard and it says no trespassing. So, again, we'll have to estimate. You know, with technology today, we can get pretty accurate as far as, you know, estimating certain aspects. But I just wanted to throw that out there that if you have any of those signs, obviously that's fine, but we can't proceed with going on to the property if those signs are there. The million-dollar question that everyone always wants to know is, will my taxes go up? The values are all increasing, so what's going to happen is when it's done, the tax rate is going to come down by whatever factor the values increase by. So that's how they work. It's an inverse relationship between the worth of the town, what I call the ratable base, and then the tax rate. If I was reducing values, the tax rate would go up. That's kind of what I touched on earlier about this being a distribution tool. People think it's not their assessment that drives the taxes. It's government spending that drives the taxes. The assessment just dictates, based on market value, what portion of the budget you're responsible for. And since it's based on fair market value, if you have a lakefront home, 5,000 square feet, you're going to pay more of it than somebody with a bungalow on a 50 by 100 lot, because that's the market value differences. So you will see that the tax implication from this, the assessments will be effective January 10th, 2020. You won't feel the tax implications, whether it's positive, neutral, or negative, until August of 2020. So think about it, the way we do taxes, the first half of this year, technically, we're almost at the second quarter. We're still paying on what the assessment was as of January 1st of 2018. So that there's a little bit of a lag effect. It's hard to predict what... You could have a neighbor that goes up and a neighbor that goes down in taxes, and that has more to do with what the old assessment was than kind of what the new assessment. Because the new assessments, if they're similar homes, they should be similar. But I have no jurisdiction or control over the old assessment, so... You could have a neighborhood that's depreciated, and then, in general, their taxes go down. That's just the market. In a municipality we recently did, it had been 25 years since the last revaluation, and there was one section of town that was really doing very well in terms of market value, and they did see a kind of a shift over. Typically, we don't really see any kind of major shifts. You always hear the stories like, oh, my taxes doubled, like, unless you double or quadruple the size of your house, that's probably not true. You kind of have to do a little bit more research into some of those claims. But some people's tax bills will go up, some will go down. I anticipate most would stay the same. This is, you know, I don't really foresee any shifts out of the gate. Next slide. So we're going to send out the valuation notices in the fall, and there's going to be a period of probably, I'd say, maybe 2 to 3 weeks where, if you disagree with that information that we sent you with your new assessment, you can sit down with us and we'll take another look at it. You know, you always have the option as a taxpayer in New Jersey to file an appeal. You can do it every year. I wouldn't recommend it. You have until April 1st each year. But you could, technically. But we like to do this informal process, which, you know, it's not in the contract, it's not mandated, just because maybe there is something I missed, or maybe there is something I need to take another look at. And it gives you the option, without having to pay a county tax fee, without filing the official paperwork for an appeal, to sit down with us. And it might be the guy that inspected your house. It might be me. So, you know, we're a small company, but we have that kind of connection. So it's not like we have someone different doing this versus who actually was out and did the inspection. Next slide. So if after the informal review, so it's kind of like a two-step process, after we give you the values, say you were to disagree with it, and we sent you another follow-up letter saying, well, you know what, I did the research, I still feel that my assessment is correct, then you have the option of filing an official appeal. So it's, you know, I hate for people to feel like, oh, Jim from PPA is saying my house is worth $200,000, so I can't do anything about it. You can't. And again, you have to remember too, we all have opinions. It's really going to be our opinion of value. That's really what we're trying to establish. Could it be toward the high range? It could be. Could it be toward the low range? You know, it could be. But there's no smoke and mirrors here. If you have questions, we'll answer them. If you want us to take another look at it, we'll take another look at it. And it has to be reasonable. I mean, there's taxpayers I've met in meetings that I asked them what their house is worth, and they said $100. So it's just, you know, it's like, all right, well, that's not exactly reasonable. Next slide. Kind of touched on this. You have until April 1st. This is after the reval is complete. You have until April 1st, usually every year. Next year, you'll have it until May 1st because of revaluation was conducted. So typically when we do revals anywhere, they always give that extra 30-day window. I don't know if it's because sometimes the jobs run a little bit later, but they give that 30-day window to apply for an appeal. Next slide. This is our contact information. I think if you've got your initial letter, you should be on there. But if you wanted to write it down, I'll leave that slide up. And then it's really, I open the floor to the public.
I have a fairly new house, 5 years old, so okay. It should be pretty easy to assess, you know, quality, size, all that good stuff. However, in this township, what's going to be a little strange is that we have three rivers, a lot of floodplain, a lot of wetlands. Does your assessor want to know, or will you have maps showing this? If my entire backyard is wetlands, my entire front yard is floodplain.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a map,
yeah.
That would be great information to have. I mean, typically, as an assessor myself, I would evaluate wetlands differently from, say, uplands.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, so there's it would be a different formula per se. So, yeah, if you have something like that, a survey even showing that, and I don't have to do the research myself, that would be great. The state does have a website for wetlands, but it's kind of outdated. I mean, I can use it. I think it was 2012. Have you tried it? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's something we could talk about.
Yeah.
The assessor and I.
My entire neighborhood was underwater during Irene. That's
right.
Why
right.
It will be true.
Sure.
You won't hear it from me. You'll hear it from everybody else.
Right. and that's something that would come up. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. With that would obviously, if you have that information, mm-hmm. and we're there, that would
okay.
be great to have a copy of it. If not, it certainly we should play the valuation of the property. Yep.
If you just pay flood insurance, is that enough information, maybe?
No, but we'll notate it. I mean, you know, flood insurance, it costs money. So, I mean...
Yeah, but on your flood insurance, it puts what zone you're in. Like, we're in zone A.
I usually don't get too deep into the flood zone map, but, again, that's something that I'll have to discuss with your assessor.
The high costs against the property.
Sure. If it has that kind of an impact, then it may have an impact on the overall final evaluation.
I'm higher than her on the river. I only
have a little work. Right. But again, we keep it general. So, any other questions?
Exteriors. Yeah, you're talking about, you know, the quality or the maintenance, deferred maintenance taken into consideration. For a good example is my chimney probably should be taken down and rebuilt.
Notated. So, it may have an impact if it's deferred maintenance. We look for exteriors, we kind of look at the overall condition, but we really look at the windows, roof, and siding. But again, if you were to update your roof, mm-hmm. my view is that's normal maintenance. That's not something that I would add value to. You know, if you redid your windows, I think they changed the law recently where you don't even need a permit to do windows and siding.
I believe that's correct.
A roof, you still do.
A roof, but not windows and siding.
So windows and siding, you could redo without a permit. So, I mean,
and I'm in an estate situation where I purchased a house from an estate.
Right.
And the value, the purchase price is significantly different than
the assessment.
The assessment.
Right. Estate sales, they usually require a little bit more research. I've seen estate sales that actually are fair market value. I mean, you don't know. You have to really dive into the sale and actually talk to the lister and actually talk to the buyers and the sellers to see. Because, I mean, most of the time it's someone...
You're not going to talk to the seller. No, I'm speaking to
them. Oh. But most of the time with estate sales, someone inherits property, it's an expense, so they unload it. You know, because that's cash they didn't have yesterday. That's what they do. But I have seen it where people actually market it correctly. It's on the market for a reasonable amount of time. It sells for a reasonable amount. So those have to be a little bit scrutinized a little bit more. It's not, like I said earlier, it's not like we just flat out ignore them. We just have to look at them a little bit deeper. So.
Do recent appraisals help?
depends on what it's for. If it's for tax purposes,
for the purchase of a house.
Yeah, then no, not really. I mean, if you want to give it to us, I mean, we'll look at it. It's always interesting to see on the what comps another appraiser would use and what kind of adjustments they would use. So that's always interesting. But even if you were to take that to the county tax board, they typically wouldn't put too much weight on a purchase agreement appraisal or a divorce appraisal or,
yeah, right,
you know, so they want the, especially as it relates to tax court, they want it to be the appraisal, in the appraisal saying it's for tax purposes. You got a question in the back, sir?
So what happens if you don't get onto somebody's property or in their house to do the assessment?
We'll have to estimate within reason. So, you know, I mean, if, and again, it's within reason. Say I go up to a house and it's a 20x40 rancher. I can't estimate a second floor that doesn't exist. I can estimate a finished basement, maybe an additional bath, but I can't. Can I really estimate 5 baths in a house like that? No, probably not. So I think it behooves everyone to kind of cooperate, but if for some reason we can't get in, then it's our responsibility to kind of estimate it high as the best use.
Is there any penalty to the person if they don't cooperate?
As far as estimating or like...
A penalty for not allowing you on.
No, I mean it's one thing if there's an altercation with the inspectors, right? Like, let's say I've had it, he's had it. I get cussed out. If someone isn't acting like an adult, they get treated like a refusal, then I would say there's a possibility of a penalty. But if I left you at the door and you took my car, it's not really a penalty per se, but I'm just estimating things that you may not have in your appraisal.
I think
but
that's
there's
a
no
good
penalty.
Point. You're estimating things that you might not have. I don't have a finished basement. You don't get into the house, you're going to think I have a finished basement.
Exactly.
It's, you know.
Right. Right. But I mean, and I've had it where people slam the door in my face and cuss me out of the door. I mean, those people, they get marked down as a refusal. The main reason we differentiate between the two is because if the refusal challenges the assessment, the county tax board most likely will not hear, even hear that. And it's all defense. But they won't hear that appeal until at least an inspection is done. And a lot of times the assessor, because I'll be gone maybe, but yeah, a lot of times maybe the assessor will actually end up going and doing it, you know, because it'll come up 2 years from now when they try to appeal their assessment. So refusals like that, though, I mean, realistically, maybe 5% of the town. Like here, I would anticipate, I mean, I don't want to give myself that luck where you can support it. Or to say, like, maybe like 20, you know, on a town this size, I'm really happy to see me. I mean, you got a lot of farmland here, farm properties too, so, and farmers are familiar with the assessor's office because they have to qualify.
How do you handle qualified property with no residence?
What's that?
No residence. I have property, 18 acres, there's nothing on.
You mean like a vacant lot?
Yeah.
So no house either? Or no? But that's good. We'll have to look at that and evaluate it just as like flat vacant land. And then you have vacant land, you have qualified farmland.
It's qualified farm.
Oh, that, okay. No, that goes off of the state rates, okay. You know, whatever the state gives us. I think they do it every year, though. I forget what they call it, the Farmland Advisory Committee, they give mm-hmm. us these rates. So, you know, if you're permanent pasture, yeah. Cropland pasture, that's what. That's kind of an easy one to assess for me. I don't have to do any work. I just plug in the values and let it go. Yes, sir?
What else are the photos you take? Who has access to that? Plus, who has access to your paperwork? And how long do you keep all this stuff?
So everything we do is collected digitally while on our laptops. All that information is sent up to, who's your vendor here, Vital?
Yes.
Vital is the software vendor for the appraisal for the tax assessor's office. That information then gets uploaded and sent to Vital. There's a local backup on the inspector who did your house. He's the one who has like a local backup of your house. I wouldn't have it on my computer. So the data goes to Vital. The pictures we send to Vital at the end of the job, and Vital attaches them to each of the properties so they're in the correct spot. We typically have a backup, you know, just for redundancy. We have a backup in-house on our backup storage truck, which is what we have in our office for all of our municipalities. But as far as access, the only people that have access would be our inspectors and the assessor's office. If someone wanted access, like, they couldn't get, I mean, they'd have to ask Erica. They're not getting it from us. I mean, if it's your house, that's one thing. If you said, Jim, can you send me the pictures you took of my house? Sure. Yeah, I don't have a problem.
Well, would it be available to open public records app?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I think so.
Yeah,
think
all
so, right?
Probably. Yeah,
all your property record cards are.
Function,
are
so. Yeah. I mean, yeah, if somebody wanted to open request all the photos, I guess. They could, you know, in essence. But again, the front photos are right-of-way photos. Like, those are the ones I kind of prefer. I don't really like taking rear photos, but I do it because it's in the contract. just because I'm on, at that point I'm on private property. So, but as far as the front photos, I mean, you've seen it, Google, driving around, they got the street view, it's crazy. So those you know, you can't really do anything about. As far as access to our paperwork, again, it's only the inspectors and the assessor has access. Essentially how it works is, there's only two vendors that do computing for assessors. And what they do is they have the official file, the whole file of the town. And for revals, what they do is they make it a two file. They copy it. And they make a separate file that, it's just a mirror, but that's the one that we work in. So, like, we're not working in her official file right now. We're working in what's called a revaluation file. So all the changes we make to the sketches, all the photos, at the end of the job, the software vendor, they take it, and then they merge it and put it into the official file. But as far as access, she has the access codes. I have the access codes. Any other paperwork? I mean, if you, like, letters that we mailed out, income requests, those sort of things. I mean, I assume you could get those from the town when we turn everything over. But because we're a private company, and I understand we're working for a municipality, during the job, most of the stuff we have is proprietary to the job. It's proprietary to us ourselves. So we kind of hold on to it. At the end of the job, everything we have gets turned over to the town. Yes, sir.
One of the things that you talk about is comparable sales. Where do we get to look at what you think is comparable? How does that work?
Yeah, so when it comes time for the valuation, we'll post all of the sales for the township. Probably for the past, at least the sampling period, October 1st, 1819. Sometimes I like to give a little bit more years, so you'll have access to that sales list. I think if the town can put it up on the website, we can.
Mm-hmm.
It'll definitely be on our website. If you have access to that, you can download it. I think it's just a PDF. And then you can look at it. But as far as mass appraisal, we don't necessarily pull three comps for every house. We look at the sales in that neighborhood. We see how your house fits into that based off of appraisal methods, and then we kind of just, that's what the assessment is. That's why there's always a little bit of wiggle room sometimes at times to necessarily challenge the assessment. But if you were to come in and say, you know, what three comps, we're not doing a 50 to 100 page report like an appraiser would. You know, there's not only a lack of time, but a lack of resources to do that. Because again, this is mass appraisal, not specific appraisal.
How do you handle septic systems?
Well, my understanding is most of the town is septic, so I think if you have cost associated with it, if something's wrong with it, my brother has septic down in Durham, North Carolina, where he lives, and I think the city of Durham made him, the Department of Health came out, they made him pay $17,000 to fix something was wrong with it. I don't remember what it was specifically. So that's something I would want to know. But again, we're not sending my guys out with x-ray machines and shovels to check your septic system. So, you know, if you have issues with it, you know, then obviously, you know, please let us know. Sorry. Revaluations make people say.
Yeah.
Right.
There's some misunderstanding.
Yeah. Any other questions? I got all that.
I'm curious. Do some people have these hardwired generators that go on automatically? Is that something that makes a difference?
I think we're gonna pick them up. I don't know if a value is going to be attributed to them, but I think it does, especially in this neck of the woods. Like, you know, I feel for you guys. Like, when we lose power where we're at, maybe we lose it for 45 minutes. I mean, I've heard horror stories here. You guys lose it for, like, 10 days. So I think those whole house generators, I think.
That brings up solar.
Right. Some people are on the fence. Again, we'll notate it. Like, if you have solar panels on the roofer, if you have standalone, I have solar in my house. Does it attribute value? It depends. See, that's where I don't really get into the whole, like, oh, do you lease your panels? Do you own your panels? Because there's so many, like, side scams. You have to be very careful when you get this solar, like, what you're doing.
Would you recommend your company?
My solar company? Oh, yeah, Tesla? Yeah, I would. Yeah. I did it for name recognition, though, that's why. And I own the panels. So, you know, I'm still paying off the loan. So. But, no, I mean, solar is something we notate. It's hard to really, you really have to, when you try to value something, like, there's certain things you can kind of figure out, like, what's a lot worth? I mean, it's tricky, but what's a lot worth? What's a good price per square foot for this town? When you get into, like, whole house generators, I mean, you would really need, like, two houses exactly the same lot, with two different sale prices, and one has a generator, one doesn't. And then maybe you could extrapolate from that, like, what's the market value of that generator? So I'd rather notate it, and then if we want to do something about it in the future, we have that ability, you know. But, yeah, that was a good question.
I assume solar, the aesthetics of solar don't come into play.
No, I mean, the look of it. But, again, aesthetics is very judgment. You know, there's people. That comes up a lot. I'm surprised I haven't heard this question, so I'll ask it myself. people say, I live next to a dump. My neighbor's house, dump. It's vacant or it's foreclosed. That drive, they don't ask me, they just tell me. That drives my market value down. My answer to that is maybe, but I'm not sure, because it kind of goes into what you just said as far as judgment. Every buyer's different. I don't care. Where I live, my neighbor has a house with, he's got junk. Boats, jet skis. We don't even live near the river. We're a good couple miles away. Boats, jet skis. But he's the greatest neighbor. I love him. I've known him my whole life. I wouldn't trade him for the world, for a clean house, you know, for the aesthetics. My father-in-law, different story. When I moved there, he was like, oh, you need to build a berm, put some trees here. I'm like, it doesn't matter to me. So, like, that's an aesthetic. Like, the aesthetics, that's a judgment issue. You know, some buyers care about it. Some buyers want a brand new kitchen. Some buyers will walk into a brand new kitchen and be so particular that they hate the look of it and walk out. So a lot of those kind of boil down to, like, judgment calls. So we try not to, especially for tax purposes, attribute values to things that are that speculative, because there's so, the range is just too vast to really attribute a value to it. Any other questions? We're here till 6 now. Well, Sean,
I apologize for being late, and you may have already covered this, but your goal is to, are you assessing a fair market value of a house? Or
yes. So the goal is to bring all properties up to 100% of fair market value, and that's what we're looking at. Fair market value being between a willing buyer and a willing seller. No foreclosure, short sales, those sort of things. That's the objective. And by doing that, you're kind of ensuring that the tax distribution is being spread equitably throughout the township. So that's the main objective.
This may not be a question you can answer, but is there, like, when the valuation occurs, there's going to be a, as you said, it's going to be an increase probably generally across the township.
Right.
Right? But, and then that gets washed out because the tax rate drops.
Right.
So, but there will be winners and losers of that calculation.
Absolutely.
Is there a range of which, the change is so drastic, especially in the decrease range, that it's.
So you mean like future forecasting, like how the impact it has on the value?
Yeah, so somebody paying 10,000 taxes.
Right.
The whole reevaluation process goes through, and now they're paying $15,000 in taxes. Is there a mechanism that's like...
There is, but... I'm a mathematics guy. I love numbers. And I love the mathematical aspect of it because you can back it up. The art of appraising kind of comes into what you just said. Like, there's going to be winners and losers. If you had a property that was over-assessed, way over-assessed, and the tax burden is falling drastically, that... It's nothing personal, but that's going to have a positive impact on the market value of that home. Because those taxes doing that property, that burden just got, reduced. And it happens on the flip side. Say your property was way under assessed and their taxes were going up $5,000. That's going to have an impact. How much of an impact? That's where it gets kind of, we don't know. But that's something that we have to think about when we do these final valuations. We'll know. What I'll do is, I'm going to take the budget from 2019, which I don't think is done yet, right?
It was introduced, but not yet.
So I'll take the budget, and I'll take the new assessments, and I'll be able to come up with an estimated tax rate using the budget from this year. There's some confusion about that. When we send out the letter, the valuation letter, it has your new assessment, your old assessment, and then we typically do, unless asked not to, we typically do what you paid in taxes in 2019, and then what your taxes would have been with the new assessment. Because at the end of the day, as much as I like my job, people don't really care about the assessment of their house. They care about what's the tax liability. Mm-hmm. That's the bigger issue. So we put that on there so people can kind of tell right away, like, oh, I'm neutral. Oh, I'm going up a lot. I need to call them. Oh, I'm going down a lot. I'm not going to call them. You know, so, right, it's kind of human nature. So, but yeah, I mean, that's something. It's, I wouldn't call it a mechanism, but that's part of the process. I mean, if you have, especially in a neighborhood where everything else is stable, if you have, like, one section of town going up substantially, those sales at 350 aren't going to stay at 350. Not as the taxes went from 7,000 to 10,000, and that's what they're being marketed for on MLS. Like, low taxes, beautiful house. That's going to change. So that's, again, I don't really anticipate that here, but it could happen, you know, depending on the metrics. Yes?
This might not be a question for you, but what about people that have a senior tax freeze? And if their property value goes up or down, how does that affect that?
The state actually does this right for senior tax freeze people. They don't do a lot of things right. Did I say that? No. all right, so for the property tax reimbursement, and I went to a class on this, I think it was 1 or 2 years ago. Let's say your assessment led to a tax decrease. You actually could reset your base year to match that decrease. If it's the opposite effect and your taxes are going up, doesn't matter. Your base year is your base year. They won't. My understanding from the course is they will not raise your base year, but if you can lower your base year, you can lower it. So yeah, you still might pay a little bit more out of pocket if you were seeing an increase, but you'll still get that much more money back. So it helps. Yeah, the deductions are a bit of a joke, but I mean, they implemented those in 1975 when people's taxes were like $2,000 a year. Now people's taxes are eight times, and they haven't. We've asked them, but they haven't changed them for veterans, seniors, or individuals with disability. Yeah, it's only $250. I guess it's something we should be thankful, I guess. Any other questions?
Just kind of an odd question. I know of one house in the township that essentially needs to be torn down because it's 30 years old and never finished and
right.
Essentially abandoned. Say roughly on 5 acres. How do you value that?
That's a tear down. Like, I mean, and you'll see those. I mean, there's still something there, so I have to put an improvement value on it. You'll see that when you're looking through sales. I mean, you'll look at it. You'll look at the picture if they even have a picture on MLS. If they don't have the picture, like, and you're looking at the condition, like, it's really a vacant land sale. Like, it's not. That's not really a typical residential sale. So there still should be an improvement. Something shouldn't be a vacant lot unless it's truly vacant. Like, there's no improvements on it whatsoever. But yeah, that's kind of that would that might be a little bit more toward the cost approach than this because there is no sales. That's an outlier. Anything else? Nope. You guys can't wait to work with us.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I expect all the beds to be made. That dishes to be done as well. Now.